Just a little over 100 years ago, Henry David Thoreau, the New England Yankee social critic, wrote the book Walden, one of the American classics. And in the book, he rebelled at the intrusion of social institutions in a person's life. When he was 27, Thoreau moved from his home in Concord, Massachusetts, to nearby Walden Pond, not Golden Pond, Walden Pond, where he built a small cabin for himself in seclusion. He spent 2 whole years there, living his way as totally as he could into each single moment of the day, all by himself, as much as possible, trying to be totally present to every single simple little thing that happened all around him. And in the book, Walden, Thoreau reflects upon the extraordinary delight that he discovered in this kind of life. He showed his rare ability to find a real kind of happiness in the very ordinary, simple things of life. And he didn't spend his time simply swimming or fishing, or playing the flute, or raising beans, or taking hikes. Rather, he entered totally into the very experience of each moment of the day, listening to the sounds around him in the pond, noticing what went on, paying attention carefully, marveling and enjoying. Then, when he was 45 years old, Thoreau was stricken with tuberculosis, and during the months of what we would now call terminal illness, the lesson that Thoreau had learned of the pricelessness of each single moment of life that he had learned at Walden Pond was confirmed for him in these last months of his life. So much so that one day when one of his friends came and tried to engage him in speculating about life after death, Thoreau is reported simply to have said, "One world at a time. One world at a time." What a gift it must be to be able to live in one world at a time, simply because we grow to discover how rich life can be. Now, if we discover the secret that he did, to live life fully in its ordinary moments. And moreover, the very, very best way in which to prepare for death is to learn how to live life fully now, while we still have the opportunity. In the Old Testament, while it's true that our Hebrew Jewish forebears had a keen awareness of the past and of the future, nevertheless, the Hebrew people were very earthy people, very present persons. They were a now people. And a wonderful example of that is shown to us in the 118th Psalm. It begins with an awareness of the presence of the living God in our daily lives. And then the psalm reaches a climax as the psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Let us be glad and rejoice today, now. And then we find the very same spirit running through the New Testament, perhaps in a way that might be surprising to many of you. I say surprising because Jesus refers so very often to eternal life as a primary theme of his teaching career. And so very many of us still think of eternal life as something out there in the future. But in reality, that is not at all what Jesus had in mind primarily. It's true that eternal life does have a future reference. But throughout the Gospels, eternal life is referred to as a quality of life, not a dimension. The way Jesus speaks of eternal life, it speaks about the quality of life, which is now, because eternal life began for each of us the moment that we were born. The kingdom is now, and the kingdom is within us now. And all of this is clearly defined in the words that John, who's the gospel we heard this afternoon, when Jesus speaks at the Last Supper to the disciples. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, that your Son may give glory to you, that he may bestow eternal life on those you give him." And Jesus says, "Eternal life is this, to know you, the only true God, in him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ." The words of John in chapter 17. To know God, to love God, but to know God in a way that is not just intellectual. The trouble with most of our religious training, our religious education, our theological backgrounds, not just intellectually in our head, but the real understanding in Scripture. To know is to know with our whole being, not just intellectually. To know in that fashion as a total human being, that is eternal life now. And when we know in this way, then we experience the eternal quality of life in the present, moment by moment, each day of our lives. This is eternal life now. A new dimension simply is a continuation of now after our physical death. Now, this is of crucial importance for all of us to understand, because today there are still so very many people who go on living in the past. We're not here at all now. We still think of how great it was when the kids were still at home, what great times we had. Or we identify with the great song of Barbara Streisand, "We're always dreaming about the way we were." And in the process, we miss the way we are or can be now. And for so many other people, the tendency is to make the opposite mistake. We dream about the way things will be, and we miss now. We say we'll live when I'm feeling better. We'll live when the kids grow up, or when the price of coffee goes down. Always we'll live later on. Now, it's true. The Scripture says that it is important to recognize the past and the future. Both are important. Important to be aware of our religious heritage and our roots as a people. And also to recognize that the Christian life is filled with living hope and expectation of all that is yet to come. But what is most important is to be able to live deeply and fully the present moment given to us now, to be able to experience here and now the wonder, the awe, the miracle of the present life. Long have I waited for you to come home, to live, to learn how to live deeply and fully our lives together now. Easter Sunday is only 2 weeks away, but before we get to resurrection, we must go through crucifixion. That's the reality of the gospel today. As the time of the passion drew clear and near for Jesus, he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I assure you, each of you, unless the grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it's going to remain just a hard, little, enclosed grain of wheat. But if it dies, Jesus promises it will produce much fruit. We are the grains of wheat. Each of us, held within ourselves with the little hard shells. And yet the Lord plants us. The Lord plants each of us at the moment of our birth, here in the cool of the Easter garden in the good earth, so that little by little from the day that we are born, we learn to die. As we grow to know with our total being the beginning of eternal life now. Like the grain of wheat, all of our lives, each of us is in process. Each of us, from the moment that we are born, is in process of becoming the beautiful person the Lord intended us to become. Each of us, from the moment that we are born, is in the process of breaking out of the shell of selfishness. Each of us is in the process of expanding, of growing, of flowering into maturity, of surrendering ourselves and yielding a harvest. Because each of us, in our own way, in our own unique way, is destined to do something to enrich the total creation of God's design. Each of us is intended to do something to bring about a new earth and a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. Each of us has the opportunity to know with our full being eternal life now and to act accordingly. Eternal life is now. The kingdom of the Lord is within us now. Come back to me, the Lord calls each day. Come back to me with your whole heart, with your whole being. Do not let fear keep us apart. Long, long have I waited for your coming home to me here on earth and learning to live deeply and fully our new life together, which begins now.